Now we love you. We lift your name in all the earth.
May your kingdom be established in our praises.
As your people,
we declare your mighty works.
Blessed be the Lord.
Thank you for another new month. The scripture even doesn't declare that you deal with monthly blessings. It says you daily load us with benefits. Daily load us with benefits. We thank you for the daily benefits. Thank you for being dependable. Thank you for always being there for us. Thank you for even having gone ahead of us. You have hedged us behind and before and put your hand of blessing upon us. Thank you. If we had but 1,000 songs, it wouldn't be enough. But all we have is the limitation of our language, of our words, of our vocabulary, just to say thank you. Thank you for everything you have done. Thank you for everything you will yet do. And thank you for this morning. Thank you for blessing us already. And you keep blessing us. We are most grateful. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Have your seats briefly. But a few minutes. But I say to you that this month it's strong on my heart, and I believe I'm going to deal. I wanted to deal with it on Thursdays. I'm not even sure which Thursdays I'm around. But apart from that, I felt God say, no, that's important. I want to reach as many as possible. And I'm going to be talking about the sex minefield. The sex minefield. Usually I tell people, to study Proverbs chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. If you want to live a life of purity, if you want to get it right, I tell them, look at 5, 6, 7. Of course, We spoke about certain things at the foundation class this morning, which are very important. We spoke about your nature, your new nature, who you have become. You are a slave of righteousness. So nothing can compel you to do anything that is sinful, that is wrong. The only thing that you are naturally now inclined towards as a believer, the only thing that has control over your life is righteousness. Hallelujah. I told you, you know, that is good news. You don't sound like you know it or you believe it. Are you with me? That's the only thing that has control over you. So that's why in Romans chapter 6, again, that's another chapter I tell people to study. Study Romans chapter 6 very, very well. So the only thing you do now is that you yield your members, you know, to righteousness and not to sin. You yield. So it's what you yield to that matters. But sin shall not have dominion over you, is what the Bible says. But usually this came out of a recent, personal Bible study of Proverbs chapter 5, 6, and 7, which I'd always told people, study that. And I felt God begin to speak. So I began to write down everything he was saying. And I'm going to do a teaching just based upon that. And we'll just look through scriptures. Because what we have is a sex minefield. And I'll explain how, I usually would say sex trap. But I felt it wasn't adequately expressing what I wanted to say. And then I ended up with a sex minefield. How many people know a minefield? You know, mines are like bombs. They are bombs that you plant in the ground. Usually, if you are fighting an enemy, the enemy knows that you will come to where they are. Then they will plant mines on the ground somewhere, knowing that as you come, you are going to step on those bombs. And if you put your foot on the wrong places where the bombs are planted, it's going to blow you to pieces. You know, so those are mines. Mines also can last a very long time. So if they have planted it there, for instance, and the war ended, usually they don't go back to remove what they put there. And there are people and there are places, even in the world today, where World War II mines are still blowing up in those places. Children are going to play around on a field, and they step on a mine, and it blows them. Either it kills them completely, shatters them, or it blows off the leg or whatever, you know. So it's still happening because World War II ended, but the mines that the people planted were never removed. The sex trap or the sex bomb is like mines. The same issues have been for ages, and it's still destroying people. Now, this is not about the destruction. This is about the freedom. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is about how we can be free. This is about how we can live right. This is about how we can get it right, because that's the intention of God. Let's read first from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm not going to go very deeply at all because I barely have 10 minutes this morning. And then, like I said, this morning I'm going to delve into Proverbs chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, and we're going to see what we can learn from there. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. It says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." What does that mean? Or what does that mean in this context? He said that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, but no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter. And what does that mean? Somebody who lives like that is defrauding another person. Do you understand the context? It's saying that when somebody leaves, you say it's a playboy, you say it's whatever, she's a whatever you want, terminology you want to use for her, and even if you then say you are a believer, what it's saying is that you are defrauding. So it's like 419, you are scamming. You are scamming the believer. You are scamming the other party because you know better than to do that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You've gone quiet this morning. If I step on your toes, Jesus will heal it. Amen? Yeah, but it's a scam. Somebody say, no, but he's promised that he's going to marry me. That's why I slept with him. It's a scam. Are you still there? Yeah, because then he turns around and he says, he doesn't think you are the one anymore. Eh? How do you collect it back? Are you still there? You can almost hear a pin drop. It says that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother or sister in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. Are you there? But I want you to take note. It says, "What this is the will of God, Abby, your sanctification." Meaning, this is really key. This is really important to God. So let me start and explain the title I'm using. So, like I described to you, the minefield. It's saying to us that sex was a design of God, but you must know where to put your foot. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It must be done the right place, the right time, with the right person. Can I have an amen? If it's not, it's a bomb. It's going to destroy you. Are you with me? You must know exactly the right place, the right time. It must be done right. You must be taking the right steps. Otherwise, it's going to destroy you. And I can tell you story upon story upon story of people who have been destroyed by not understanding that it's a minefield. Are you still there? You know, one of the when I said the right, it must be done right. Okay? One of the first things you must also know is that there's a right timing. Okay? There's a right timing. And the right timing says that, or in the context of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, you know, it says it makes all things what? Beautiful in its time. Of course, chapter 3, Ecclesiastes 3, chapter 3 begins with there's a time for everything. So when it's done outside of his time, it means it's not beautiful. Even though it's beautiful, God created it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you still following me? But when it's done outside of his time, of course, that is before marriage, outside of marriage, are you hearing what I'm saying? Then it's not beautiful. It's the reason why we will look at people. Well, I'll get to that maybe. But we'll look at people who are not married and in fornication, and we look at them with disdain. You know, disdain simply means that we look at them, you know, we are irritated to say, how can you be living like that? But the same people married, and we're all celebrating. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because this is his time, the time for such a thing, and it's now beautiful. Are you still there? You know, I like to also say that the difference between men and animals is that men have discretion. Or human beings, that's what I mean, have discretion. Animals have none. So the animal does it with anybody, anytime, anywhere. But the difference between human beings is that no matter what you say you are feeling, there should be discretion in operation. That tells you this is not appropriate. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't worry, I'm not saying anything too deeply. Some even say, but there are children here. Only God knows what they are seeing and hearing. Okay? And I'm saying some of it also, even today, for a reason, even in their own presence, for a reason. I remember years ago, I met a lawyer, so I mean, I still know him now. And he told me, he came to church, he saw me in church in Ibadan, and he was telling me, and he said, you know, there's something powerful about being in church. He said, as a child, I was in church. And the preacher was preaching. And he was talking also from Proverbs chapter 6, actually. He said, and the man said that by this thing, by adultery and all that, a man is reduced to a loaf of bread. He said, in his little mind, he began to look at people. And was thinking, a man. We become a loaf of bread. A man will be reduced to a loaf of bread. He said, and he thought to himself, oh, that thing must be dangerous. Are you with me? He said, now, interestingly, that's what kept him away from fornication. But he never forgot that imagination of a man is reduced to a loaf of bread. And that kept him, that every time he crossed his mind, he said, hey, will become agege bread. Are you still here? Let me also say that the scriptures, when you look in the New Testament and it says fornication, it actually just means sexual immorality, like the New King James translates it. Okay, it's not trying to separate. We'll say fornication is sex before marriage. Adultery is sex outside of marriage, meaning the person is married, but with somebody else that he's not married to. But actually, the scriptures use that word, or it was translated to that. However, what it means is what? Sexual immorality. Meaning that as a whole, everything you can call sexual immorality, including porn. Are you still with me? Don't worry, keep looking straight with a smile on your face so nobody knows whether it's you I'm talking about. Are you there? But those are the issues of the day. In fact, I was listening to some statistics and they said, over 60% of people in church watch porn. There are many things we're going to talk about. Should we talk about them? Eh? Not today, but we will talk about them. Hallelujah. But go back to our text, because I said to you, at the end of the day, we're going to basically be looking at things. First, warnings. You know, why shouldn't you do this? What's so bad about this? 1 Corinthians 6:18 says that when a man is joined to a harlot, he becomes one body, one flesh with the harlot. Now, forget harlot. Okay? Forget the fact that he talks about harlot. And just think about the fact that he says that when the person is with this one, it becomes one. Now, the same context in which he talks about that is the way he talks in Genesis chapter 2. When he says that a man will leave, 2:24, will leave his father and mother and will become one flesh. It means that there's something deeply connecting about sex that you must be extremely careful about it. Are you there? It's the same way we say that the man and his wife have sworn or are bound by covenant is the same way you get bound by covenant with anybody you sleep with. I'm talking about the dangers. Are you still there? The dangers. You become one with the person. So, I mean, we're talking about how we're taught in medical school. And when they talk about, because again, second thing you need to know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, I think that's the verse 18, it talks about the fact that there is no sin that is particularly offensive to the body. So we're talking about spiritual and body this morning. He said there's no sin that's particularly offensive to the body like that one that does something to the body. So the way we're taught in medical school, they say, if you are with somebody who you are not married to, and that person is also like that. You know what I mean? The person has been with A, B, C. Then you are now, well, the person has been with what? 10 people. They say you are now with 10 other people and not just that one person. Are you hearing me? So, I don't want to use anybody's names in case, whether online or present, that name strikes you. Though. I was speaking in a university in the UK, and I was giving an example of countries. So I used an example of a country, and there was one gentleman from that country there. He was very upset, and he just got up and left. You know, I couldn't imagine that anybody would get upset over us. So I won't use a name this time around. Are you with me? So brother X has been with sister A, B, C, D, E. Eh? Different times. Now is with Sister F. Sister F actually is joined to Sister A, B, C, D, E. Now that's medicinal. And that's how we teach sexually transmitted disease. Is that whatever A, B, C, D, E gave Brother X, is bringing to Sister F, who never knew Sister A, B, C, D. Are you still there? I think we've become very quiet. Now it's looking like we're having a funeral ceremony. But, okay, I hope I've given you enough to start thinking. Huh? Are you still there, anybody? So I've given you two reasons, at least two reasons now. That one, it's a particular sin against the body. And the Bible says there's no sin like that one against the body, like sexual immorality. It damages the body. But it also says to us that when you do, it's like having covenant. Having covenants with people. Somebody called me one day. I said, you know, I slept with somebody and I can sense it that there's a spirit on me. Weeping on the phone. I can sense it. Something got on me. Something got on me. Something got on me. And I had to pray for her. And God set her free. And I said, I hope you learned your lesson. That things can get on you. Are you with me, anybody? Somebody say, set my, you're trying to scare us. Yes. Are you with me? Yeah, I'm trying to scare you. If it will save your life, yes, so be it. Hallelujah. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians 4. Let me try to wrap it up there. And then we will start looking at the book of Proverbs, which is the real intention of this series on the sex minefield. So it says, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain. Of course, you know the word abstain. Abstain is like what? Fasting. Abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. So, everybody, there is a way you can handle yourself. Are you with me, anybody? Everybody needs to figure out how to handle himself. Somebody say, every time I say beautiful, I don't lose control. No, there's a way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The way for you might be different from the way for somebody else. That is apart from studying the word, praying, and all of those things that you do to develop yourself spiritually. But there is a way. Somebody might say, I can't hold hands. Then please don't. Are you with me, anybody? Please don't. Even with my fiance, but people are laughing at me. Let them laugh. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, because you know what to do. You know how to handle your own vessel. It means nothing now for him, for her. It means something for you. Are you still there? When we went to school, as a lady, the guy, I think it's one of the reasons he said he was breaking up with her. A lady said, I can't kiss. Well, she just doesn't like it. And the guy likes it. Are you with me? But he said, me, I can't. Somebody said, but is it really, really wrong? Why do you want to know? Are you with me? Why are you trying to interrogate? It's like when we say, how far can we go? Why are you asking? You want to go far? Are you still there? It says that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust. The word lust means uncontrolled desire. Okay, uncontrolled desire. So I always tell people, James chapter 1 explains it, and it says every sin. It says every sin means that the person was drawn away by his own lust. Remember what I said, that lust is not sexual. That lust means uncontrolled desire. So everything you do wrong, there is a desire that you were not controlling. There's something you just allow to go. There's something you allow to just express itself in your mind and in your heart without trying to control it. It says every time you allow any such thing, then that thing will lead you to sin. Are you there? I think it was Hebrews chapter 12 that then said, we need to strive against sin. We need to fight. So you don't allow desires to just grow. You fight them. You do what you need to do. Whether you put yourself on 7 days, dry fasting, do whatever, but you fight back. And you say, I must control this desire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stop there this morning. Amen. And then we'll continue. Should we continue? Not today, but should we continue? This month, there will be deliverance. Amen. Let's stand on our feet. If you're here this morning, you need to make peace with God. Please do so. If you're not born again, get born again. The good news is that it's so easy. So easy, so easy. The bad news is that some people would not do it. And sometimes it's because it's too easy. But being too easy should not be the reason to miss out on a miracle. Naaman was a general in the Syrian army. He had leprosy, the Bible said. He came, he saw the prophet, and the prophet said, go and wash in the Jordan. Dip in the Jordan 7 times. And he said, what arrant nonsense. He didn't even come out. He sent a message. And he said he was angry. He wanted to go back to Syria. He's not going to do it. And then his soldier said to him, Oga, what's your problem? The man has asked you to do a simple thing. If he had asked you to do a hard thing, we will understand. But he asked you to do a simple thing, dip in the Jordan. Hey, why don't you dip in the Jordan? And because salvation is so easy, that's why some take it for granted. That's why some never say the sinner's prayer. That's why some do it, but they abandon walking with God somewhere along the line. Because it's so easy. Because there's simplicity in Christ. And the Bible says in the book of Romans, I believe, chapter 2, verse 4, it said, now do not despise the mercy and the kindness and the love of God. He said, because he's drawing you to him. It's not that all of that expression of mercy and all that is to draw you to him, not to drive you away. He's showing you that I love you so much that I'm so patient with you. Don't take that patience for granted. So if you've never given your life to Christ, whether you are online or you are here, please do so now. Put your hand on your chest right where you are. And say the prayer from the depth of your heart. Forget about everybody else. I always say to people, because we all will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Not anybody else's judgment seat. When it's time for judgment, you are dead. And it's time for judgment, and nobody will be on that seat but Jesus. And what are you going to say? You won't say it's because of somebody. Never done that, do it if you've done it before. But even now as I speak, your heart is beating faster because you are not sure of your stance with God. Why don't you just do it and be sure? Do it and be sure and say, yes, today I'm doing this. I mean it from the depth of my heart and I'm going to be sure. And just tell him, say, Lord Jesus, I commit my life to you this morning because you died for me on the cross. And you nailed the handwriting of everything that was against me to that cross. You died and you rose again so that I might have right standing with God. I believe it. I confess it. And from today, I will live for you. Just as you gave your life for me, I'll give mine for you. Amen. Father, thank you for everyone who spread that. Thank you because you help them, help them, help them, help them to walk the straight and narrow. And you preserve them spirit, soul, and body. And present them on that day whole. In the name of Jesus. We give you praise for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. And Father, this morning as we take the communion, we're declaring, just as it says in John chapter 6, you said, anyone that eats my body and drinks my blood will live by me. We're declaring that we'll live by you. It's just a reminder that we'll live by you even in this month of June. Everything we'll do is by you. Protection by you, provision by you, guidance by you, direction by you, favor by you. We live by you. And indeed, we declare also health from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. Thank you, because you yourself bore our sickness and our disease. Thank you for healing. Thank you for divine health. Thank you for, this is our best month yet this year, in the name of Jesus. And testimonies abound, because you are the one that makes a way in the wilderness and brings streams in the desert. Thank you.